Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, we're going to talk about responding to the cry of your heart today. And it's going to tie into what Pastor John's going to begin to talk about next week, about the purpose-driven life. And I want to really encourage you to set aside, Pastor John's talked about this over the last few weeks, to really set aside the first part of the year. You know, the end of the year and the beginning of the year is always a time when we kind of start to, most people, everything from the New Year's resolution stuff, which most of us don't keep, to really, but just even just taking the time to look at what was the year like? What would I like to see take place in the next year, in the coming year? And so the beginning of the year is a perfect time for you to set aside time to really look at and to really examine, what does God have for me? What would He like for me to do? What should I be doing with my life? Now, age is irrelevant when it comes to that. Sometimes we kind of push that down to people that are younger, but age is really irrelevant there. I've encountered so many people, and really, again, age is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if they're very young or very old. People tend to consistently ask themselves, man, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? What's going on? What should I be pursuing in my life? And today we're going to talk about responding to those things from your heart. What's God put in your heart? What are things that maybe you've let die that maybe you should pick up again? What are things that if you were to look back and kind of take a little contemplative time and kind of analyze a little bit, that you might would say, you know what, I used to talk about this a lot and I don't anymore. Or I used to think about this and I don't anymore. I used to really have this desire and I kind of let that go. Our life took it from you, stole it from you. Circumstances, things took place and took those things from you. There's a scripture in Genesis, and this is a jumping right into the part of Joseph's life here. And I don't have time to give you the whole story, but Genesis 37. And we'll read this verse real quick, and I'll give you a little bit more of a context. But Genesis 37, 19 through 20, it says, they said to one another, and this is Joseph's brothers speaking, they said to one another, come now, let us kill him, throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Now, Joseph, when he was younger, God gave him dreams about the future. He didn't completely understand them all, but they basically relayed the fact that his family was going to actually bow down to him. And, of course, it turns out years and years later, he actually was instrumental. He was actually the reason his family and his whole people were saved. It was through Joseph's life. And in this particular case, he's told his brothers these dreams. And of course, this is his own family, flesh and blood, and they're going to kill him. Okay, because they're resentful, hating these dreams and stuff like this. And so they, rather than kill him, though, one of the brothers stepped in. And if you're familiar with the story, you know, they ended up taking his cloak and they threw him into a pit, sold him into slavery. They put blood all over the cloak, told dad that he died. And of course, again, years later in Egypt, Joseph saves all of them. He's responsible for delivering and saving all of them in a time of famine and stuff like this. It's a wild story. But here is a person who has dreams. His own family is working against him, literally to the point they're wanting to kill him to take those dreams. How many of you know life, family, circumstances, situations, all kinds of things can work against us to steal those dreams or to steal sometimes even purposes that we really feel like are in our heart, and they come against us. Sometimes life can just walk up to you and just hit you square in the face. And you're just stunned. And all of a sudden, you find yourself having to navigate things or do things that you never thought you'd have to do. But I want to tell you this today. God has a plan and a purpose for you. All right? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I skipped this one here. I want to come back to it here. Jeremiah 29, 11. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Now that verse in Jeremiah, Jeremiah is written at a time that Israel is in rebellion against God. They're not serving God. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. And it's because of the time in which he ministers in, and he did not have an overwhelmingly positive message to Israel. But here in this time in their history, and I don't have time to give you the whole context, but in this time of their history, they're in rebellion against God. They're not serving God. They're in rebellion against Him and against Him in many different ways. And Jeremiah stands up and tells them, I know the thoughts and plans that I have toward you. And he's speaking for God. They are plans to give you a future and a hope. Even in the midst of their rebellion, God is telling them, these aren't my plans for you. Your rebellion against me is causing all these things to take place, but my plans for you are to give you a future and a hope. They're plans of peace. They're good things. And I want to encourage you this morning. You know what God knew you'd be here today? The God of the universe knew you'd be sitting in this room this day. See, the cool thing about God, it kind of works with your head a little bit here and stuff, but if all of time was between my two hands, God stands outside of that. And He sees all of it as the same. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Because all we see is the little speck that we're living in. True? And how many of you know if you got any years behind you, man, it goes by fast. It's hard to believe we're getting ready to click into another year. And before long, it'll be a year from now, and we'll be sitting and we'll be saying, now it's another year. They go by that fast. God stands outside of that. He's not limited by this at all. He sees it all the same because He's God. The good news is He saw you, knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He knew you'd be sitting right here today. That's how intimate God is with you. He knows the very hairs or lack of hairs on your head. He knows them all. Okay? He knew you'd be here. And what you need to understand is that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Things may come. Family may say things. People will say things to you, criticize you. Oh, that'll never happen. You're too stupid to pull that off. You don't have the education. You don't have the training. You don't have this. You don't have that. You've never been able to do that. You blah, 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 blah. People will do that to you. Life circumstances will bring obstacles into your path that will try to hinder you or keep you from doing it. But I want to tell you this. God is not limited by those things. God's not controlled by your family. That's pretty good, isn't it? God's not limited by the family that you may have come from or be a part of. God's not limited by things in the past, and He's not limited by things of the future because He stands outside of it. He sees it all. All right? And God has a plan and a purpose for you. Let me give you a few quotes here just about life in general, things for a variety of different people. It says, if you always put limits on what you can do, physical... No, wait a minute. I'm jumping way ahead. Let me give you a couple of things that people have said about other people in their dreams, all right? Look at the wrong side of the paper. Look at what they said about Fred Astaire. Hey, it was holiday time, so you probably saw Fred Astaire in some movies. If you watched some old movies, you probably saw Fred, all right? A very, very well-known Hollywood star in the day. Can't act, can sing, balding, can dance a little. Fred Astaire from a 1929 thing. About Hank Aaron, that kid can't play baseball in 1952 as he's being evaluated by a scout, the minor league scout. How many of you know Hank Aaron broke the Babe Ruth home run record? And for many people, because of all the steroid stuff, he's still considered the home run champion, right? Okay, but here he is being told that kid can't play baseball. I think he did okay. All right, we don't like their sound. Groups of the guitars are on their way out from Decca Recording as they rejected or turned down the Beatles after they heard one of their audition tapes. I don't know. I think the Beatles had a decent career. Get rid of the pointed ears guy. That's about Spock from Star Trek. Get rid of the pointed ears guy. And yet here Spock is one of the central characters today. If all of us listen to all the different things that people may say, if we're influenced by all the circumstances that may come, you know what? You're not going to get out of bed in the morning. Because things are always, always, always challenging us. Now my assumption for you today, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about us offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. So I want to encourage you with this. My assumption for you is that you want God's best for your life. Why would anybody not want God's best? So I encourage you with this. I'm assuming, or all the other things we're going to talk about here, which we're really just going to talk about three simple little points, okay? That'll be easy to remember for you. But in all those things, my assumption is you want to do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, that I want to offer myself as a living sacrifice before God. That I'm going to live my life before Him and I want to see His plan and His purpose take place in my life. That's my assumption for you. All right. And I encourage you, if you don't know God this morning, if you don't have that relationship, you can do that before you leave this building today because God does have a plan and a purpose for you. All right. Now let me give you a few quotes about life in general from a variety of different people. It says, if you always put limits on what you can do, physical or anything else, it'll spread over into the rest of your life. It'll spread into your work, into your morality, into your entire being. There are no limits. There are plateaus, but you must not stay there. You must go beyond them. Bruce Lee. Now, I know you never thought you'd hear a Bruce Lee quote in church, right? Those of you that are old enough, now if you don't, if you're not old enough, you don't even know who he is, but you can, 1960s and 70s, he's the Kung Fu guy from China. When all the movies, their voices would move, their mouths would move, and then the voices would come out. Remember that? Alright, one from Mark Twain. 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. Sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Mark Twain. Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. That's Helen Keller. One more from Helen Keller. The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. Who has sight but has no vision. Now, Helen Keller was blind and deaf, for those of you who don't remember that from your school days, all right? She's blind and deaf. And here she is saying, the most pathetic person in the world is somebody who has sight, yet no vision. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that category. And you know what? You don't have to be. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And there's things that stir up in your heart. I guarantee you there's things that have stirred up in your heart. Even me just raising the topic have prompted things within you. Even me just saying the phrase, things hit you. So what I would encourage you to do is it's really simple. God will gladly, and He wants to show you, He'll gladly show you. God's not hiding stuff from you today, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That there's a plan, there's a purpose for you. And again, we're going to go over three simple things. Now you got a bulletin when you came in here. You know, on the back of that, it's got a place where you can jot things down. And I encourage you, you know what, through today, there's no way, at least one scripture, you may leave here and say, that's the worst message I've heard in my entire life. Woo! But I guarantee you, if you'll open up your heart, God will speak something to you. There'll be a verse. There'll be part of a verse. There'll be part of something that will stand out to you. Take the time to write that down. Because how many of you know, if you don't write stuff down, you're going to forget it. Okay, I encourage you, take the time to write that down. And allow God to minister things to you. And allow God to point things out to you. Because I promise you, I know, without any doubt, just simply raising the topic, stuff starts going off in our hearts. Of things that we've thought about, things that we've longed for or wanted to do in our lives or whatever. All kinds of things start happening. And again, we're going to talk about just three simple things. The first thing I've already really mentioned in a lot of different ways, and that is this, is that God has a plan and a purpose for you. All right, I'll read it to you exactly. I've got it in my notes here. It says, you must know and understand that God speaks and calls to everyone. There are no exceptions. No one is disqualified. No exceptions. No one's disqualified. God calls and speaks to everybody. God knew you before you were formed in the womb. Let me give you this. I've mentioned this. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. Even the previous verse we read in Jeremiah 29:11. Again, that was written to a nation that was rebelling against God. They were not serving God. And God still told them, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are thoughts and plans of peace to give you a future and a hope. And yet they were in rebellion to God. So I don't care what condition you're sitting here in this room. God still has a plan for you. You may be thumbing your nose at God every single day. And you know what? God still loves you, cares for you. He's not out to get you. An unbiblical view of God is He's just some old angry guy sitting up on the throne just ready to just splat you like a bug. And unfortunately, sometimes even as Christians, we hold that view. We don't really believe God has good for us. We don't really believe that He wants good for us. And it's an unbiblical view. And I want to encourage you today, it doesn't matter the condition of your life today. That doesn't justify certain things. And man, you may have been brain dead. You may have done some pretty stupid things. But how many of you know, we've all done some pretty stupid things. How many of you have ever had stupid come out of you? You ever done that? I mean, I've been in the middle of stuff and God, this is really stupid. Right? We've all done that. Now, I know there's a variety of levels. Sometimes we do some really stupid things, okay? But even in the midst of all those things, did you know God still loves you? Has a plan and a purpose for you? Israel is literally rebelling against God. They're killing people. They're ignoring His commandments. They're worshiping other gods. And their lowest point, they're sacrificing their own children to pagan gods. That's pretty bad. And God, in the middle of that, still says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are thoughts, plans of peace to give you a future and to give you a hope. And He said that to a rebellious people. So it doesn't matter how you're sitting here today. God loves you, cares for you. And you need to know God has a plan and a purpose for you. He knew you'd be here today. He knew you'd be here. Hopefully you'll be here in the coming weeks where you can walk through a process to help you discover or rediscover things that God has for you and a purpose and a plan for your life because He loves you and cares for you. Let me give you a few more things here and then we'll move on. Mark chapter 4, 21 through 23. And this is from a paraphrase called the Message Bible. Jesus went on, does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it up on the table or on the mantle. We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing them out into the open. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Now, this passage of Scripture comes right after where Jesus shared the parable of the sower sowing seed or sowing the Word of God. And it talks about the soil being the condition of our heart. This comes right after that. And the point that Jesus is making is just what this paraphrase says. It says, I'm not hiding stuff from you. God's not in the business of hiding things from you. Right after this, the next couple of verses, as Jesus goes on to talk about, you know, with the same measure that you hear what I'm saying and act upon it or give it out, more is going to be given to you. So if you'll put into practice or if you'll listen to what I'm saying and act on it, you're actually going to get more. But if you don't act on it, even what you have is going to be taken from you. And again, that's not God taking it. Go back up to what He's talked about before. If you go through the parable of the sower sowing the seed or sowing the Word of God, all kinds of stuff comes and steals the Word of God out of our life. So God's not in the stealing business. He's in the giving business. Jesus just said, I'm not hiding stuff from you. So God's not hiding things from you today. Again, He knew you'd be sitting here in this room. He's not hiding things from you. He wants to show you, wants you to know the plans and the purposes that He has for you. And all we've got to do is just simply take the time to listen and to follow. And let me give you a couple more things and we'll go on to that. Hebrews 11:6. It's a fairly familiar verse, but if you've never read it, make sure you mark this in your Bible sometime. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. In other words, we're supposed to live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see, feel, think, anything else. Our life is supposed to be governed by faith, governed by the Word of God. But those that come to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, that word exists, some translations, rather than using the word exists, they'll say they must believe that He is. But if you were to look that word up, when it says exists, it does not mean we must believe that God exists in a general way. Okay? So it's not talking about God just existing generally. Because, you know, how many of you know, if you've ever tried to witness or share your faith with somebody, you can talk to people about God in general terms all day long. Isn't that right? I mean, people talk to you about God. Okay? I mean, the overwhelming vast majority of people that live in this country would tell you they believe in God. It's when you start talking about Jesus that people kind of get a little nervous. Right? So this isn't talking about you just believing in God in a general way. It's talking about the words that are used there is a present, right now word. So when it says exists, it literally is telling you must believe that God exists right now. In the right here and now. You sitting in your chair right now, you must believe that He exists right now. That right now God's thinking about you. That right now you're on His mind. That He exists right now. Not waste some time in the past, not sometime in the future, even though He sees all those things, because He's God. But I must believe that He exists in the now. That He is right now. He exists for me right now. And He rewards me. You know why He rewards me? Because He's right now. He exists right now. And if I'll draw near to Him, He'll reward me for drawing near to Him. That goes so contrary to how so many people view God. Because so many people, even as believers, have an unbiblical view about God. They don't really believe that He exists now and that He rewards you for coming and seeking Him. Man, God's a good God. And He rewards those who draw near to Him. But I've got to believe that He is. I've got to believe that He's that rewarder. I've got to believe that He exists right now. And if I'll draw near to Him, He will always, always, always respond. Always respond to me. Many of you in this room are parents. Okay? None of us go into the mindset of wanting our children to live in utter poverty. None of us want our children. As you look at your children, you just celebrated Christmas and you're surrounded by those precious kids, whether they're old or young, they're still your babies, right? Okay, age is kind of irrelevant there as well. Especially for the moms, they're still their babies. Okay? Our oldest comes home, you know, Sean comes home, and of course now Stephanie's married. Married. It's a good thing though. It's a lot of fun being around them actually. Alright? But at the same time, here they are. So Stephanie's not at home anymore either, so it's just Rachel. Now Rachel's standard line, she's 16. Rachel's standard line is, I'm stuck here with these old people. Everybody else is gone. I don't know why she says that, just because we're passing out at 8:30. Right? But anyway, before Stephanie got married, Sean would come back home. Now again, he lives here, but Sean would come back home and be visiting, and the mom would seriously kick in. What do you want, Sean? Can I make you something, Sean? And they would be harassing Sean. Like, and of course, Sean always continues to say, well, that's because I'm the favorite. But how many of you know it doesn't matter about the age? They're still your babies. True? They're always your babies. You do not look at those babies and wish them harm. Not if you're normal. Something's off if you're wishing them harm. You want the absolute best for them. True or false? So who are we to actually indict God and say He's a worse parent than you are? That's crazy if you think about it. Common sense tells you that just can't be right. But what happens is we develop unbiblical views about God, that He's this, again, some big old ugly fat guy sitting up there in heaven just ready to just smack us. Wants to abuse us. Wants to just punish us. He's going to make me pay. All this, man, if God wanted to make us pay, okay, this room would be empty. Okay, because He'd have fried us all. Isn't it a good thing we're not God? Because He'd be frying people right and left as you're driving every day. Right? Because everybody knows no one is as good a driver as you are. Right? You know one thing you can almost get everybody to completely agree on is, you know, when they've done surveys of people and they're driving, you know, they ask people this question, I am an above average driver, true or false? Did you know 95% of people in the survey said yes? All right, somebody's hopelessly deceived. Because how many of you know 95% of the people driving are not above average drivers? All right. Even as parents, we look at those babies, no matter what their age, and we want the best for them. How much more so does our God, in fact, the Bible even tells us, God, our Heavenly Father, who did not withhold His Son from us, how would He not also freely give us all things? Don't tell me God's hiding stuff from you. Don't tell me God doesn't want to speak to you. Because you want that for your kids. How much more so does God want that for you? Next thing is, so number one is I've got to believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of me, that He has a plan for me, and He's not hiding stuff from me. He's going to speak, He does speak to me. I've got things in my heart that God's given me. Number two is this, I've got to develop the ability, and this is something you learn to do, to be honest with you, unless it comes to you by nature. I've got to develop the ability to get quiet before God. I've got to get to a place where I can have some quiet time before God, to where I can let Him speak to me. You must get quiet to hear. You'll never be able to hear the prompting of your heart unless you make it a habit to get still and to get quiet. Now, in our world today, that's hard to do because we are a plugged-in society. There's 24-hour television. Didn't used to be that way. Again, many of us remember the days when at midnight that thing went off and you got fuzz. They did the national anthem and boom, it's out. There was actually some pretty good things about that, to be honest with you. I remember, even though I'm only 28, grade early, I remember when CNN hit the TV. I remember hearing about a 24-hour weather station, the Weather Channel. I remember thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in the world. Who's going to watch the weather 24 hours a day? And yet now it's one of the most popular, highly rated cable stations. It's insane, isn't it? All right? But I remember those things. Now today, we've all got smartphones. We've all got tablets. We've got computers. You can't, if you don't choose to disconnect, you won't. You won't. And what you'll find yourself doing is you'll find yourself constantly having to have something. And what you'll lose the ability to do is to hear. Because you're surrounded all the time by noise. and it just pulls on you and draws on you. I would encourage you with this. Now, I know sometimes people, and again, I use all these, so don't misinterpret this, okay? We have wireless internet at our house, and I've got a tablet. In fact, I find myself using my tablet more and more to read the Word of God, because I got all kinds of stuff on there. All right? I mean, in the middle of Pastor John's messages, man, I can look up words, I can do stuff, and believe it or not, even John Nuzzo has great things to say sometimes. And I can record those things right there in that tablet, and they're there forever. Okay? So don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But if you're not careful, you become a noise addict where you can't disconnect. And you'll find, I'm looking at the phone. I'm looking at this. And, oh, I got to check Instagram so I can look at everybody's picture where they took a picture of them at Walmart. Right? Got to check Facebook because I've got 4,328 friends. Now, I don't know half of them, and half of them live overseas. Right? But if we're not careful, again, please don't misinterpret it, all right? But it's important. If you can't go home, again, I know sometimes you use them for work and stuff like this, but if you can't go home at the end of the day and set your phone down or your tablet down and not touch it till the next morning, you might have a problem. All right? I would encourage you maybe just do a little experiment with yourself. And just see, you know, they've done studies and stuff of people, and you know, and again, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was a pretty high percentage of people. They sleep with their phone within arm's length. It's within arm's length somewhere. I'd encourage you, don't take that thing into your bedroom or whatever it is. All right? Because my point here is this. If all I have is all this noise going on in my head and in my heart, and I'm constantly exposed, and I can't not be distracted by something. I'm distracted by everything, which sets me up in a position where I'll never hear anything. Because I never get myself in a place where I can get quiet before God. Now, I'm not talking about hours. I'm not talking about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and making it painful again, which is what we as Christians tend to do. Bless God. Well, if I'm going to seek God, it's got to be at 5 in the morning because God's an early riser. And that's the only time He talks. All right? I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about you within the context of your personality and your makeup, figuring out a way that I can have a few minutes a day where I can get quiet, where I can unplug myself and allow God to speak to me. Again, if you don't develop the ability to be still and to be quiet, you're never going to hear. And especially in our world today, because there's just so much stuff, so many things going on, and it's not very easy to disconnect to it. Let me read you from 1 Kings 19. This is Elijah, an incident from his life. I mean, we're kind of jumping in the middle of something here. 1 Kings 19, it says, "Then are there he came to a cave, and where he went, where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah replied, 'I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain,' the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. And as a voice said, and as God spoke to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he goes on and talks to him. And Elijah finds out there's hundreds that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Or in other words, there's a lot of people still serving me. He's kind of having a little bit of a pity party here. But my point of even sharing that account with you, notice all the stuff going around, but how did God speak to him? It's a gentle whisper. And I will tell you, more often than not, the voice of your heart, the voice of God speaking to your heart, is that gentle whisper. And you're going to have to take a concentrated effort sometimes to develop a habit. And again, please don't go home and say, okay, 6 hours a day. Or if you're a mom with young kids at home, you're going to be doing good to have 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, without somebody hanging on your leg, right? So I'm talking about you taking this and putting this into the context of your life, okay? And you figuring out a way, how can I get 5 minutes? Just start with five. How can I get 5 minutes? What can I do? What do I need to change? Where I can have 5 minutes, where I can read a little bit maybe in the book of Psalms, And then just simply pray for a few minutes. And then at the end of that prayer, just simply just sit there a few minutes and just ask God to speak to you. Did you know the more you expose yourself to the Word of God, which is God's Word, did you know the more you're going to hear His voice speaking to your heart? Okay, but you're going to have to do that on purpose. You will have to do that on purpose. That's not something that God's not going to force it on you. You know, God will let you go your own way. He'll let you do your own thing, all right? Psalm 37, verse 7. Quiet down before God. Be prayerful before Him. Don't bother with those who climb the ladder, who elbow their way to the top. Quiet down before Him. You're probably used to hearing that, like King James, New King James. It'll say, be still before God, or rest before Him. Another verse talks about being still. Be still and know that I am God. There's a lot to be said about developing the ability just simply to be still. And again, I know I've said it multiple times, I'll do it one more time, because we tend to respond to these things in extremes. I am not talking about you having to get up at 4 a.m. I'm not talking about you having to have an hour's prayer time every day. I'm not talking about you doing any of those types of things. You need to do something that is sustainable. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. Okay, what can I do in a sustainable way where I can develop some habits that would allow me to be able to be quiet before God, to where I can just have, even if it's just a few minutes, okay? I encourage you to do that, because I need to, number one, understand God wants to speak to me. He has a plan for me. Number two, I need to be quiet enough so I can actually hear it. I can hear and respond to the stirrings of my heart. And the respond to part is the next part, and that is this. We must respond to, act on, and obey what we hear. Obedience isn't optional if we expect to live in and to experience God's best. We are going to have to respond. God wants to speak to me. God does speak to me. I need to be quiet before Him. But even as I'm quiet before Him, I encourage you to this. You need to develop the habit of just write down things. What do you feel stirring in your heart? Write those things down. Okay, I am not a journaler. You know, there's some people that journal every day. And that's awesome. I'm not criticizing it, okay? It's a great thing. And I know there's people that do that very, very consistently. I am absolutely worthless at it. I've had lots of good intentions. I could take you to my home right now and could probably show you 2 or 3 blank journals. Some of them I've torn out pages because after I wrote stuff and came back to it whenever later when I quit and reread it, I thought, that's the stupidest thing I've ever read in my life. Tore it out. So I could take you home right now and could show you those, okay? So I'm not good at that part. But I'll tell you this, I am good at making little bitty bullet notes to myself, little bullet points. And keeping track of those types of things. All right. And again, how you choose to do that is up to you. But you may be a journaling personality. Well, then do it. You may be more of a person that, man, I can write down a bullet point and keep track of that. Awesome. You may be the headliner or the paragraph writer. You figure out which one you are. All right. A lot of men are headliners. How was your day today? Good. Right. And as far as most men are concerned, I just told you my whole day. I mean, you did a lot more than that day, all right? But that, for a lot of guys, we're headliners. Okay, so you figure out what personality you are, but in the context of that, you're going to have to respond to. There will be steps you're going to have to take. God won't force it on you. God will let you do your own thing. He will let you go your own way, all right? He will do that. Deuteronomy 6:24. The Lord our God commanded us to obey all these laws and to fear Him. And that fear Him does not mean be afraid of them. It means to reverence Him, to honor Him, to submit our lives to Him. All right? These laws are for our good as long as we live so that He will preserve our lives. It's still true today. Another translation is these commandments are for our good always. You know the things that God tells us to do are for our good? Again, it goes back to our view of God. And so many people have an unbiblical view of God. Again, that He's some guy up there that's wanting to sit up there and just punish me. That He's out to get me. That He's just waiting for me to mess up. Or He knows I've messed up and I've got to hide from Him. Because if I get too close, He's just going to splat me. He's going to wipe me out. All right? All of those things are completely unscriptural. God loves you. Has a plan and a purpose for you. His commandments, His things, the things He'll put in your heart, they are for your good. You will have to, on purpose though, take steps to follow them. Not leaps, but steps. A quote from a man named William Barclay. The tragedy of life and of the world is not that men do not know God. The tragedy is that knowing Him, they still insist on going their own way. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. That is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Quote from another man, it says, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. Well, that's just depressing. Who wants to go to the grave with their song still in them? I don't want to do that. I want to go to the grave. You know, again, nice little secondhand lines reference and stuff. Not just that, but it's in that movie. If you remember, it's an older movie now. But the two old guys and stuff, well, at least they died with their boots on. Bless God, I want to die with my boots on. I want to die pursuing what God's placed in my heart. Again, age is completely irrelevant in this. I could take you, if we had time, and we could go through multiple references of people that we would all consider old, and God used them to do unbelievable things when they were just flat out old. Old. All right? Age is completely irrelevant. Okay? And it's important you understand, we can either choose to go our own way, or I can choose to understand, you know what, God's got a plan for me. He wants to speak to me. Number two, I just simply need to get myself quiet enough so I can begin to respond to those things. Take the time to write those things down, and then I need to act upon them. What steps? You know what? You may have to do some stuff. You may have to take a class. You may have to, depending upon what God's got stirring all around inside of you, you may have to go back to school. You may have to do whatever. Get more training. Do this, do that, whatever. Be willing to take a step. But if you'll take those steps, you'll be amazed at what God can do for you. Again, a year's going to go by before we know it. All right, again, the younger you are, the longer that year feels. But the older you are, that thing's going to feel like that. All right? But it is amazing what God can do in your life in a year. It's amazing what God can do in your life in a matter of moments. Did you know one word from God can change your life? One. Just one. Because the Bible tells us that God's Word is alive. That it's active. And it always produces fruit. Did you know that? You know God's Word is alive. You know what's written in this book? It's alive. They're alive. And I put them in my heart. I respond to those things. It produces stuff. Because it's alive. It's life. And it'll bring life to you. It'll bring life to the circumstances of your life. A couple more things. We'll wrap this up. And Pastor John's used this quote a number of different times. This is the guy who said it originally, or it's attributed to him. There are two great days in a person's life. The day we are born and the day we discover why. William Barclay. He was a minister, was a part of the Scottish church. But the day we are born, the day we discover why. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Last quote, Abraham Lincoln. The best thing about the future is that it only comes one day at a time. Aren't you glad it comes one day at a time? Which means tomorrow, the future that's tomorrow, I can take a step tomorrow. And then guess what? There's more future coming the next day. And it's just one at a time. It's one day at a time. I don't have to. And again, as people, we tend to always respond or react to these things in an extreme. It's like, again, the end of the year, one of the top New Year's resolutions is that next year, or this coming year, I am going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat better. And then, of course, 3 weeks later, you've back a slice. You've backslid, right? You've lost it. Okay? So, we always tend to take those things in extreme. Well, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise consistently. So, how do we usually start that? Bless God, Monday. So, Monday comes, and what do? You get up and do something for 15 hours, and rigor mortis sets in the next day. You can't move. Right? Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. You can't even move. So we tend to react or respond to stuff like this in an extreme. Don't do that. We're talking about a step. The future comes one day at a time. And it comes one step at a time. And I encourage you, again, it's very, very simple. Just three simple things. God wants to speak to me. And He will speak to me. He's not hiding stuff from me. Number two is, I've got to be willing to get quiet, spend time before Him. Allow God to stir those things up in my heart. What have I let die? What have I let go of? What have I let life steal from me? What have I let other people steal from me? What have I allowed to be stolen from me? I've got to get quiet so God can stir those things up for me. And then the third thing is I've got to be willing to act on it. Be willing to take a step. And I can almost guarantee you, most of the time, they're going to be a pretty simple little step. And we tend to minimize those steps. You may feel the prompting to do blank. You fill in the blank. And you go, oh, that's just, what's that going to do? You never know what that simple act of obedience, just one step, you never know what that step opens up to another step. And another step opens up into another step. Now, they're not big steps. Then I take another little step. And again, the future comes one day at a time. How many of you know I can take little bitty steps and I can move? And you look back and you realize, now, those were just simple little steps. And look how far I moved. All right? And if I had done it slow enough, it would register with you that I'm moving. But at the same time, you really wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to how much I moved, right? And sometimes that's how it is with God. We minimize those steps. Don't do that. Follow those promptings in your heart. And you allow God to direct and order those steps. You will be amazed where God will take you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, I thank you for each person here today. Lord God, I know without any doubt that you love them. You care for them. And you knew they'd be here today. So it's my hope, my prayer, oh Father, that you will make yourself plain and real to them in a very specific way. Father, I know your desire is to speak to them. And so, Father, as we open up our hearts and our minds to you today, Father, I thank you that you speak to each one of us very, very plainly, very clearly. Guide, direct, establish their steps, giving them wisdom and understanding for everything that you've laid within their hearts. I thank you, Father God, that today you rekindle things maybe that people have let die. That maybe people are renewed and encouraged, oh Father, to take that step that's been rolling around inside them, sometimes maybe for years, maybe a lifetime. Father, I thank you that you are a good God, not a withholding God, but a giving God. And I thank you that you make yourself very real, very clear, very plain to your people today. And Father, you will guide, direct, and establish each of our steps. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you don't know your Heavenly Father. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. Maybe you've never taken that step. You'd be sitting here today and say, you know what, Pastor Steve, I can't really point to a time that I really did, like we talked about from Romans 12, really did open up my life and say, Lord, I place my life here before you as a living sacrifice. I'm going to yield my heart to you and open up my heart to you. I encourage you, don't leave today without doing that. No better time than right now. Again, God is the God of right now. There is no better time than now. No better time than to go into the new year, the coming year, which is just a matter of days away, where you go into that knowing where you stand with God. Please don't leave today without knowing that. I encourage you, it's a very simple process. You just simply have to receive Him. Jesus is referred to as a gift, and it's a gift from your Heavenly Father. And I want to encourage you, don't leave today without receiving that gift. If you are unsure, or you know for a fact, I've never done that, you open up your heart and you receive Him today before you go. It's a simple process. What I'll do here in just a moment, I'll just simply ask you to raise your hand right where you're seated. The whole church will pray a prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come forward. No one's going to chase you down or follow you out of here. Nothing like that's going to take place, all right? You will pray right where you're seated. And you can receive Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, today, right there at your chair. So if you say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I want to know today, without any doubt whatsoever, where I stand with God. What I ask you to do is just simply right now, right where you're seated, raise your hand high enough so I can see it. And again, it's a big place. Thank you so much. Keep it up just so I can see it. Thank you so much, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. Right now, right where you're seated, all across this. Thank you so much. I see your hand right there in the back. Anybody else? Way up there at the top. Thank you so much. Right back here. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down, sir. I see your hand right there. Anybody else? Want to join these? Thank you so much. You can put your hand. Thank you so much. I see your hand right there. Anybody else want to join all these that have raised their hand all across this place? I'm going to look one more time. I'm not going to drag this out. Please don't leave. It's a simple process where you can open up your life and, man, you can see God begin to do amazing things for you. Anybody else want to join these that have raised their hand? Last time, raise your hand right now and we'll pray for you again right where you're seated. All right, let's pray with those that have raised their hand. Let's all repeat this prayer. After me, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came to this earth, died on a cross for me, was dead, buried, raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and the door of my life, and I receive you now as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me of my sin. Again, I receive you now as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.